The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces abundant fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for life eternal. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also my servant may be. The Father will honor whoever serves me." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, now, both the readings today require, if you will, a great deal of trust from us. Because they're stating things which seem to be rather against the common notion. The word here that comes to mind is paradox. And paradox means something which is against the common thinking. Okay. Now, let's start out with the first reading where Paul is basically encouraging the Corinthians to be generous to a collection he's taking up for the poor in Jerusalem. And he is simply saying to them, you know, he wants them to give without sadness, without compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver, and so on. And he's asking them to sow abundantly so they can reap abundantly. Now, wait a minute, you ain't got to part with some of my money? See? You know, that means I'm going to have less. And Paul's saying, no, you're actually going to have more. And it says here that, and he goes on to state the reason. He says, I want you to know that God is able to make every grace abundant for you. That you'll have an abundance in every good work. And then he quotes from the Old Testament. And he says, the one who scatters abroad gives to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. So you're going to receive great spiritual benefits for your generosity. And then, secondly, he goes on to say this. I also want you to know that the one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and multiply your seed to increase your harvest of righteousness. That, in other words, God will not be outdone in generosity, basically, is the key point. Now, all of that requires trust, though, doesn't it? You got to kind of step out there and put the money out, and then trust that two things will happen. First of all, that I'll receive spiritual benefits. God will multiply or increase my righteousness. And secondly, that God will in the end probably give me more, because he says, here's a man or a woman I can trust with money, because when I give them, they're generous to the poor. And so God will actually continue to sustain you and even increase your financial resources, because again, he can trust you with money. Okay, I mean, now that's the thinking. But obviously, it means that we have to take an initiative. We have to be trusting. We have to step out and trust God. And the key thing that I want to emphasize here today is trust, you see. But without it, this argument is like, ain't no way. I'm not parting with a dime. See? You know, the tightwad kind of approach to life. And so it is that and I've certainly experienced this, I know you have too, that, you know, somebody asks you for $20, you give it to them, and sure enough, someone hands you $20 later in the week, or, you know, that's, at least for me as a priest, that's common, you know. So there it is, but it's a very, if you will, necessary thing to learn to trust God for these paradoxes to work. Now, looking at the gospel, again, a lot of paradox in this. A lot of, whoa, what's this about? First of all, I don't want to take them necessarily in the order that they're done here, but the Lord says, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world preserves it for life eternal. Whoa, wait a minute. You know, the whole point in life is to have more toys. The whole point in life is to have more gizmos and gadgets, more things to make me happy. I need to kind of fatten up on the fat of the land and enjoy life while I've got it, because one day I'm going to die. Now that's the thinking of the world, you know. Eat dessert first because, you know, tomorrow is not promised. So the idea is that the idea of if the world is get more things, get more stuff, get more power, get more popularity, get more possessions, and so on, and that will make you happy. And the Lord is saying, well, just lose all that stuff. Don't care a whit about any of that. And you'll actually find that you become more fully alive. You see, you'll become more alive and less tied up with worldly things. And you know, really, we all know, the more junk and stuff you get, the more anxious you are. You know. Look, we've never been so affluent. I don't think there's ever been a culture on the face of this earth in history that's as affluent as we are. I mean, it's 99 degrees out today, but we've got this air conditioning going. I mean, the ancients would have just given their eye teeth for this kind of comfort. You see what I'm saying? And yet, we're anxious about many things, and we're not necessarily any happier. And in fact, some might argue if you that we're even less happy than the ancients. You know, that we're all anxious, we're busy, we're stressed out, we're all these toys and gizmos and gadgets, we can get in our car and go anywhere, and so we're expected to go everywhere, and we're anxious about many things. And are we really happier? No. So somewhere deep down inside, we know that this approach of the world is really a lie. It's just plain old a lie. That's all it is. But there we are. We're stuck in it. And how do you get out of it? And the answer is, we've got to just trust what God says. To lighten up, to do with less things, to simplify and to have less attachments to this passing world. And yet our flesh is, I'm grabbing hold of everything I can get while I can get it. That's what the flesh is saying. And God is saying, look, throw some of that stuff overboard, man. Live more simply, do with less. Less is more. And man, if you don't trust God, you're not going to do it for a second. See what I mean? The flesh will not even budge an inch, because I'll tell you, if we don't trust God, this gospel will never, never be lived in our lives. So without trust, we can't understand what the Lord is saying, and we certainly won't do it. Now, going back to the first saying here, simply says here that unless the grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it falls to the earth and dies, it produces much fruit. I always recite this line at every graveside I go to. Like planting a seed, this person is being placed in the earth so they can rise to something new, and so on. But it's a rich text, and I don't have time to develop it all. But just in the context, again, of trust, what we have to, I think, ultimately appreciate is that we're going to die. Well, why? I mean, we're anxious about this thing called death, and it makes us anxious. And I suppose if we had any memory of being in the womb, we would have maybe been anxious about getting born. I mean, you know, we're very invested in the familiar. You know what I mean? And to go out of the familiar is gives us anxiety. So we're anxious about death. But what the Lord once again is saying is, I want you to trust me. It's better for you to die, so that you can live to something greater. Will you trust me in this, says the Lord? And again, without trust, we're going to fight death, we're going to be anxious about it, and everything that symbolizes death. You know, ultimately our physical death, I mean, until we get a lot older, most of us aren't all that really, at least in our current culture. I mean, you know, gosh, I mean, 200 years ago, you know, you could be healthy on Monday and be dead by Friday, and nobody knew why. You know, death, sudden death was more common in the ancient world, but we tend to live relatively healthy and so on. And so a lot of people are able to kind of at least mentally postpone the notion of their physical death. But all the little things that symbolize death, you know, for example, anything that diminishes me, anything that causes me to feel, anything that causes me to feel like I've been diminished. I'm not as wealthy as my brother. I lost my car got cracked up in an accident. I'm without my car. I mean, anything that diminishes me or causes me to experience loss, man, we're afraid of that stuff. Oh my gosh, you know, I'm not as popular as so and so. I'm not as rich as, I'm not as beautiful or handsome or whatever, or pretty or whatever is, you know. And man, we're just worked up about that stuff, you know. And the Lord says, you know, just die to all that. And then you'll really come alive, see. Be free of all that. Now, you can't just do that. You're not going to do it. But again, if we really begin to trust God, a lot of this stuff we think we need, we're not going to need. And all the little deaths that we occur, the things that symbolize our death, will not really get to us and get under our skin. But without trust, we're going to be worked up and anxious and bitter and resentful about all these things. See? So again, I've tried to show you that without trust, none of this makes any sense. See? And so what we have to do is ask God to help us to really trust Him more. And then Gospels like this begin to make a lot more sense to us. Amen.